Dear listeners, Sairam and welcome to a new episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this series, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Today's episode is part one of a two-part conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba from the North Indian state of Punjab. He is currently serving Bhagwan at the publication division of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust here at Prashanthi Nilayam. He has a long list of educational qualifications and academic credentials. He has worked with the US Army and NATO forces. His profession has taken him to many countries around the world, and wherever he went, he engaged himself in some or the other service activity in whatever capacity he could. He has written about 14 books on Swami. In today's conversation, he shares with us his experience of being involved in service activities in the country Afghanistan. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai and was first featured as part of our Thursday live broadcast on the 5th of December 2013.
Sairam sir, greetings and a warm welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you very much, Sairam.
So this is a segment, Service Love in Action. And in this segment, we discuss about the various service activities undertaken by Bhagwan's devotees, wherever they are and in whatever capacity they can. For Seva, Swami is the inspiration and the guiding force behind. In fact, Swami has stressed and given a lot of importance for service to humanity in many of his divine discourses. Swami has told, Manav Seva is Madhava Seva, that is, service to man is service to God. So sir, professionally you are the education director for Allied Force, and this profession has taken you to many places around the world. And wherever you went, you were involved in many service activities, right?
Right, sir.
But what is interesting is that you were in the war-torn region, Afghanistan, for about 6 years. And even there you used to do seva to whatever capacity you could. So today, in today's conversation, I would like you to talk about the service activities in Afghanistan. But let's keep it for a while from now. Let's start from the very beginning, as they say. So how and when did you first come to Swami's fold?
It was a month of May or June 1983 when I had a dream. In the dream, I saw a long line waiting for darshan in front of a temple in my hometown, Bathinda, Punjab. And disregarding the discipline of following the line, I went straight and touched the feet of Sai Baba. It was Shirdi Sai Baba's idol. When I woke up, I was totally transformed. I had a very intense thrust to know more about Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba and Shirdi Sai Baba. So the book somebody donated 1 year ago, which was lying under the table and never touched, I started reading and borrowed a videotape on Shirdi Sai Baba. And then I start feeling that he is really avatar, and we started our bhajan at our home start in August 1983. Subsequently, September, October, in November, we celebrated Swami's birthday in a hotel in Korea.
So it was Shirdi Sai Baba's birthday or Satya Sai Baba's birthday?
It was Satya Sai Baba's birthday. I was reading a book of Kasturi, Loving God, when the passage came, and my heart was telling me, the inner voice was telling me, celebrate my birthday, celebrate my birthday. Though I had never had any experience, and we did not have any picture of Shirdi Sai Baba or Satya Sai Baba in our home. So, but we picked up the ball and had a portrait made from a Korean artist, and we did a kirtan in a hotel, Crown Hotel. After the kirtan was over, the green background of that portrait turned into big aura behind Swami's, like a light is emerging.
Okay.
That was very sensational. And also, when we watched videotape, and we found that altar that we have established in that hall, banquet hall, and that hotel totally relegated.
Hmm.
Instead, there was a big om. Instead of dot, there was a bust of Satya Sai Baba with a benediction pose, abhya hast, granting a blessing. And because we sent a letter 5 days before starting this celebration, Swami come and bless us. Actually, Swami gave his darshan and blessed all. It's not just me. Then next day, 50 people came to watch that videotape.
Hmm.
And everybody was amazed. How did it happen?
Hmm.
So then I became devotee of Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba.
So when you first came to Puttaparthi for having Swami's darshan?
It was April 1984.
Hmm.
And I came here and it was not cycle, once it was what is called sand dunes, you can call it. And we were sitting on the heap of sand and Swami gave darshan. And immediately there was a whisper that Swami is going to Vrindavan and he left. Then I went to Professor Kasturi's place. Somebody directed me to find out what will be his next program. And he told me, go immediately to Vrindavan. Swami will be there. So I went to Vrindavan. And there was a token system. I got number one token in the line. And Swami came straight to me. I touched his feet and I burst into tears. I don't know. Some powerful hand removes my hand from his feet. Because I was wet with my tears. That joy was so blissful and that created a book, Sai Charan Archana. That was my first book because of this experience.
So you wrote a book?
Sai Charan Archana. Then after that another book came, Significance or Divine Lotus Feet.
Mm-hmm.
Both books are related to Divine Lotus Feet.
Okay, that time did Swami interact with you? Anything you can share with us?
Swami talked to us, how are you, and that's all. And he granted an interview later on in Vrindavan also too, where he told us, me and there was another person, my friend, that he asked me, when you will go? I said, tomorrow. Then he asked, when will you go? Tomorrow. Then third time he asked, when will you go? Tomorrow. Then he said, tomorrow. He put stress on two. That means he was actually telling me Advaitva, non-duality. Two means two. There's no two, you and I. There's only one. Unity of God and you, you are one. So this is the thing he did. And secondly, he told about bhakti. He told me that either become so humble, because we are all shackled, we are all in fetters. So if you are having a shackle in your hand, so either become so small that you can pull out your hand, or become so strong like Hanuman, you break it open and you are free. So, and third, what he did, he put my head over his lap and recited a mantra. When I came out, I started writing books, and that was the first book, Sai Charan Archana. It is only because Swami's grace.
So you came to Swami's fold in the year 1984,
mm-hmm.
and then onwards you started writing books on Swami.
After that interview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's been almost 30 years and you have written about 12 books, right?
13, and 14th is under review.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
14 books on Swami, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go back to our main topic. So you were the education director for Allied Forces.
Mm-hmm.
So how you happened to go to Afghanistan?
Actually, I was posted near the DMZ and my position was abolished. And I said, Swami, you are sending me back somewhere and where should I go? And they gave me 30 days notice.
So where were you posted before Afghanistan?
In South Korea.
In South Korea you were working? Okay.
I was working and a position was announced and I applied. And I got selected.
That is education director for Allied Forces. Okay.
And in Korea, I was education officer. So it was a promotion.
So so you had to go to Afghanistan. That was the offer. Posting. Okay.
And the posting itself was a miracle too, because being a war zone, you have to complete a lot of formalities before you are posted in war zone. You have to be morally, you have so much investigations conducted. when I went from, I was taken to Germany from a NATO headquarters, and they processed my paper and just told me go to the airfield in Heidelberg, and from there I will fly out to Afghanistan. But when I was waiting for a flight, the car came and told me, you cannot go because you have one thing is missing, which is critically important. This is a Swami Grace. I was brought back to NATO headquarters and they told me, yes, you cannot go. But here this divine intervention. And the person who interviewed me, they took me to another office in the same headquarter. He was from Africa, Nigeria, Nigerian guy. And he asked a lot of questions. Then he told me, okay, what I will do, you complete this online course and I will give you temporary permission. And which I did, and he gave me temporary permission. This was Swami Grace too. I spent 6 years and nobody questioned my stay there.
Nice. So now, sir, the country of Afghanistan is known for the terror and war. So can you please briefly describe the local condition of the place in which we are there in Afghanistan?
Situation is critically, extremely volatile.
Even today?
Even today.
Okay.
Actually, it is getting worse and worse because departure of NATO forces is scheduled next year, and Taliban are putting a lot of pressures on NATO forces. How they do? They are sending suicide bombers. They are using their own people who joined Afghan army, and then their soldier, Taliban soldier, he exploded himself. And they mine a rocket, a sniper. So many, every day there is a casualties somewhere on the line. Also the big problem is those people are 97% totally literate. They cannot read and write their own mother language.
Oh, 97%.
97%. And they are extremely poor. So poor, what was India 1947 when we got independence, they are poorer than those of us who have witnessed poverty in India at that time. There is no post office, no landline telephone, only mobile phone are used. There is no electricity. NATO forces provided some generators, just like we use here when power outage is there. So schools which are run for girls are volatile to Taliban attacks. They are bombarded and girls are killed. It's very hard. There was no medical, when NATO forces occupied Afghanistan in 2002 or 1, there were no adequate medical services. Hardly very few hospitals were there because everything infrastructure destroyed by Taliban. So NATO forces reconstructed and improving medical services, education services, but things are far, far behind.
So please name the place where you are there in Afghanistan.
I was posted in Khost. It is only 8 kilometers away from Pakistan border. And in Khost, there is a Gurdwara also too. There is a small Hindu temple also there too.
Oh,
but now, because of Taliban rule, all were either killed or ousted from the town. Only few Sikhs are there and few Hindus live there. But they are always in a terrified situation. We never know when these people will come and blow them off. So that is the situation. It is a small town where Hindu used to live. It's called Hindu Bara. At that time, the population of Hindus was more than 500. Now there are hardly 10 or 12.
Oh, is it? My God.
Because Taliban either driven them away or killed them. Or some left came to India, Fash.
Now, listening to you, the condition is very scary, and if I can use the word, it's a very horrible situation. So, in this condition, what were the service activities that you are involved in?
On the outskirts of Khost town, which is also within the same district of Khost, there was a military base. I was posted there to render services for soldiers, eligible civilian people.
That was your profession?
Yeah, it is okay. My profession.
Okay.
I was not involved actually with military operations or shooting. I was not wearing uniform. It was just civilian. I was selected because of my unique academic qualification.
Mm-hmm.
I had a master degree in education, master of science in education. I had a master of science in counseling in public service. I had a master of science in library science. They need a blend of this type of background because
okay.
You are going war zone. You will need all type of situation and you should react and you should provide. You should consolidate. So I was among the long list. I was the only person who met the requirement. And not only this, you must be mentally, physically, morally competent without any stigma on your background. So that was the reason I was providing this education services.
So what was the seva in which you are involved in, sir?
The seva that we did was limited within the boundaries of our post. We used to get near about 1,000 local people who come to base for different services. We had three shifts. Morning shift, afternoon shift, and night shift. So, normally our seva used to be actually on daily basis. Not only this base where I was posted, I used to go to other bases too. Wherever I went, we conducted the same way too. Because local people were the foundation to provide basic services like running, laundry, cleaning, dining facilities, packing, wrapping, everything they are done by local people. These are the people who came to the base and we used to provide seva for these people, local people. And how we did it? Because these people, their salary was very small.
Yes.
And their family size in Afghanistan, one person is earning and 10 to 30 people are being fed on one man's salaries. So it's very difficult. They are having a very poor clothes. So we used to provide clothing and shampoo, soap and toothbrush, paste, but primarily we used to provide energy bar so that they can get strength, biscuit, cookies. And these were our daily things that we used to provide. And also these people, since illiterate, and if they have any problem with the management, with the supervisor, they want to submit a petition, they used to come to me for help to write on their behalf. So I used to do for them too. Also, if they need some type of information, like one time in dining facility, there were 56 people working, local people. They went on strike. Going on strike is not authorized. So all of 56 people were fired because it was a military base. It's not a union. It's not tolerated. So these two, three people came to me for help. And they pleaded, look, we have such a big family. If we lose their job, how we are going to feed our family? So I listened and my heart melted, really. I prayed to Swami, Swami, please teach me how to help these people because their story is very pathetic and we want to help these people. In my office, there was a Swami photos always in front of me. So I used to pray, you know, before starting any work. So I sent email to my chain of command and giving reason why it should be taken as on emergency basis. And my email went to the post commander through chain of command, and he called immediately meeting of contractors for whom these people were working. 49 out of 56 were rehired.
Okay.
And the seven people who were called so-called leaders, troublemakers, they were not hired. But they were given a choice. They can send those seven people, either their brothers or their adult sons, to work in their place, but they will not be hired because they are troublemakers.
Okay.
So whole situation became very calm. I was so much thankful to Swami, you for helping this thing. Similarly, other questions come when they need some type of help, that they don't allow time to offer their namaz, because new supervisor from USA, he does not know that 5-time namaz is a mandatory for Afghani Muslim people. They feel disruption if they go. So I explained on their behalf how it is so much near and dear. If you displease them namaz, so they will be very much offended. They may not be working professionally,
yes,
or satisfactorily, because disgruntled individual become a problem for the manager. So I said, given the 5-10 minutes, doesn't matter. So now it became a rule. Okay, 10 minutes break for namaz. So in this way, whenever any problems comes up, I pray to Swami, guide me, and then try to use wisdom to help those people. There was another group of people on our base. These people were from third world countries, primarily from India, Nepal, and Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. When I went there, these people, I watched 1 month. They have nothing to do, because their shift was 12 hours a day. They have 2 shifts, 7 to 7 p.m. or 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., 12 hours, 7 days a week. And 12 hours after that, they did not have anything to do, except meeting and gossiping and slandering. This is also Swami's grace too, that I had, because of my high rank, I was assigned a room, which was primarily for 3 people, 3 officers. I was accommodated in their room, but Swami's grace, nobody showed up during my 6 years. Only one British came, he stayed for 2 months, he was very nice to me, he told me, you can conduct bhajan, I have no problem. So we started in November 2006 in my room. The reason is this in my room, because in war zone, accommodation is very, very critical.
Mm.
Space is very limited. They cannot keep constructing, because a rocket track is happening, sniper is shooting.
Mm.
So they make very limited, but it used to be very cemented and very strong, so rocket attack can be sustained.
Okay.
So these people, our third world country, blue collar workers, they used to stay in one room 20.
Oh.
15 to 20 in each room.
Mm.
And they used to have a double decker bed.
Okay.
One, then on the top, second one.
Mm.
And they keep their belonging on this side by hanging. That's it.
Very congested.
Very congested. So there's no place.
Yes.
There's no place to do puja. So another was option to do in the church. The church people will feel offended if we go there. Here the Swami came to our rescue. Swami gave me the room, though it was allotted for 3 people, other 2 people did not show up. I was given information they are coming, but did not show up, because they were afraid of that coast. Coast was very notorious. Its nickname was Rocket City, because we used to have frequent attacks on rocket. So anybody has a rocket city, we don't want to go. So in that situation, we had one room, and all people, 20 people can be accommodated in that room. So we developed our own booklet, our own bhajans. When I came during my vacation, I took a lot of books from Puttaparthi, developed our own booklet, made a Xerox copy, gave it to everybody. So we used to do bhajans, which is 9 bhajans. Then we used to do with 5 types of gayatris, Vedic Gayatri, Om Bhurvah Swaha, and then Sai Gayatri, and Hiranyagar Gayatri, other Gayatri. Then we used to also read Sai literature also to on that. Then we used to discuss on that. So we used to follow all these 3 things, and the seva was our daily basis.
And these bhajan sessions were?
It used to be only Thursday.
Okay.
Because time was such that only thing we found convenient, because it is for them. For me, temple was in my room, so it doesn't matter. I used to do every day, Suprabhatam, Omkaram, every day in my room. So I used to say, Swami, how great is that in the Taliban land, Suprabhat is being sung every day. Really, I used to do puja both times, morning and evening. So that is my ritual before Sai Temple. But for other people...
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday, because that is for them convenience. So it was convenience for them. So we used to do it. Also for Prasadam, we used to order Mathai from a local person because we cannot get out. Very
sweets.
Sweets, yeah. So they used to... But their sweets is very inferior quality. It is just like sugar balls, really. Gulab Jamun, Barfi. So that is a very, very, very poor quality, inferior quality. But since there was nothing, it used to be very interesting, sumptuous, delicious.
Yes.
Yes.
So how are the people responding, sir? Can you share a few transformations that you have seen in the people who used to attend these bhajans?
The one thing is this, these people also totally literate. Very few people, though they were from India, but they have background was very little education.
So all kind of people used to come, like local Afghans and Indians?
No, local Afghans did not come because they were staunch Muslims. If any Muslim observed that another Muslim watching, the minimum person beheading.
My God.
Yes. And we cannot do openly because if they do openly and if they find us, they may send a rocket on us or a spray bullet on us. So it was a Taliban and a very, very staunch fundamentalist, ruthless, heartless. And we have to do in our own way, hidingly. That's why in Khos, where 500 Hindus and near about same number of Sikhs were there, all were driven away. Now, in that bhajans, the transformation is, you see, we saw is, now they found a purpose. Our people from India, Sri Lanka, and Nepal, and Filipinos did not come. They did not come. But these people came, and they enjoyed singing bhajans, and also listening the story about Bhagwan Baba. And this is the thing I want to tell you. Everybody has some problem. They used to pray. I said, we used to have a session after bhajan is over. For a few minutes, do silent prayer. Whatever your problem is, tell to Swami in your heart. You need not to speak loudly. Everybody will do silent prayer. So, their prayers, nobody told me their prayer was not answered, but they were happy. I give you one example. This is a collective prayer we did one time. There was a group of Chennai workers. 2-3 people of India from other states. So primarily this were 9 or 10 people working for Amina company. And this owner of this Amina company was Pakistani but American citizen. Their company's main mission was to provide escorting to local Afghan people. Local Afghan people cannot walk independently. For 5 local Afghan people, there used to be escort who will watch their activities.
Okay.
Because we don't know who will be Taliban. Create problem. He can plant a bomb or something, though their pockets are searched before entering into the base, but still we never know. There's always hidden pockets. So, their main mission of this company was to provide escorting, that means to monitor their activities. So, in this company, there were 9 or 10 Indians also too. So, this company became notorious. They did not pay the salaries even after 2-3 months. Now, this company, because a lot of complaints against the company, they lost contract.
Okay.
Now, another company from Uganda, they took over and they were given notice 3 months, you have to wind your business and get out from Afghanistan. So, now all these people became scared because he did not pay salary for 3 months. Now they lost contract. He will run away and they will remain deprived because most of these people come to Afghanistan via Dubai. They had a loan 2-3 lakhs to pay to their agents in Dubai to come to Afghanistan. Because they paint a very rosy picture, they will make a lot of money. But nobody was getting more than $500 a month. Anyway, when these people came to me, and I suggested, write a memorandum which I helped everybody, and say, go to see commander, base commander.
Now these people have to go back to Chennai.
Yes, and before they went, I told them to send to commander and write all your problems. In the meantime, let us do prayer. So, come and pray collectively. Can you imagine all these people? They cannot go to Afghanistan, Kabul, because they have lost their visa had expired.
Okay.
If they detect at the immigration office in Kabul, they will put in jail. So only way for them is to go to Kyrgyzstan, another route, very long route. Because up to certain point, military plane will take them out. So Kyrgyzstan, there's an army base also too. So they will go by military plane because it was a routine. Because since they were on mission from there, they will take a civilian plane and contractor, that person, Muhammad, who was the owner of that company, agreed to buy their airline ticket and he paid all their 3 months salary. Everybody reached Chennai. Nobody lost single penny. This is a really divine intervention. Other employees from Pakistan, some did not get any very partial payment or very little payment.
Hmm.
But these 9 or 10 people get full payment and they got airline ticket too.
Hmm.
And there were similar incidents, a little bit like this, where we can see Swami's hand. So their faith in Swami got confirmed. Like there was one person from Gorakhpur. He was a generator supervisor, you can call it. Technician also too, you can call it. He used to come. He was educated.
He used to come for bhajans.
Bhajan, and he was educated, and I gave him some book to read also too. But one day he came and said he lost his job because they refused to renew his visa, so he has to go back. So I found that his faith in Swami has become shaky. I said, pray to Swami to bring you back. Please, pray. He did. And after 2-3 months, I saw him again. He came back.
Hmm.
And he was from Gorakhpur, and he told me he's going to make a temple of Bhagwan Satyasai Baba in his hometown. I don't know whether he did or not, but at least he shows his enthusiasm, his faith in Swami. So there was a Muslim also too with local people too. Because whenever I give food, like a biscuit or crackers or cookies or shampoo or soap or toothbrush, toothpaste, I always say Sai Ram. So they used to call me Sai Ram Chacha.
Okay.
Chacha means uncle.
Yes.
Whenever I was walking and I can see from distance, Sai Ram Chacha, because they cannot come to me because they are being escorted. So I used to go them and give it to them. I used to have a lot of pockets in my pants and other. So I used to fill all the time. So whenever I heard a Sai Ram Chacha, I used to give. So they used to, who is a Sai Ram? I explained to him. One day some people showed me the interest of having the picture. I gave it to them.
Of Swami.
Of Swami. One person having a problem with his marriage because the girl of the marriage was a problem. So I said, if you want, pray to Swami. Another person was lost job and he wanted to have a job. I said, pray to Swami. One person got a job in Dubai, much more lucrative position what he was getting here. Another, he got married and had 2 sons.
Mm.
There are persons who had picture of Swami. So, because of giving any items as part of seva, I used to always say Sai Ram, Sai Ram. So, people on that post, almost 1,000 local people knew who the Sai Ram is.
Mm.
So, that is the thing. And our Indian people who were never attended any Satya Sai Center activity, now exposed to several activities through learning verbally or by reading the books and other literatures.
They came to know about Bhagwan.
Yes, because I had access to, in my office, it was a Xerox machine and computer for me. There's no restriction. I can make as many copies as I want because I was in charge. So I used to make copy, give it to them, you know. So who knew how to read and write, they took advantage of that literature.
Sai Ram, you just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. in which we brought to you part one of a two-part conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba from the North Indian state of Punjab. He is currently serving Bhagwan at the publication division of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust here at Prashanthi Nilayam. In this conversation, he shared with us his experience of being involved in the service activities in the country Afghanistan. The second part of this interview will be aired same day, same time, next week, and this was first featured as part of our Thursday live broadcast on 5th December 2013. We look forward to your mails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.